I want to call the meeting to go order of the Business Finance Justice Committee. Time now is 6:04. Time. Run, give an indication, please.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this evening. We ask that you bless this meeting, and Lord, we just ask that you open our minds and clear thoughts. Just whatever the nation needs, let us just have the best interest of it. Let us move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This time, roll call, please.
Pete Beaver.
Present.
Randall Hicks.
Present.
David Hill.
Present.
Robert Huff.
Present.
Adam Jones. Chairman, got four present, one absent.
We have four present, one absent. Constitute quorum. Any business conducted by the official. Moving on down the agenda is order business, the budget for the district court.
What's that? Good evening. Okay.
Compared to last year, and what changes, additions, or
sure. I know the nation had set out, because of the current fiscal concerns. I think that everyone was trying to make their cuts and adjustments. And speaking with the Speaker, National Council, and of course the consultation with the Chief's Office, we had some concerns, and we did our best to see what we could do as far as reducing our overall costs. But what we had, we'd had a concern with, growing concern over the past year, a couple of years, was the safety issues. And so you're probably aware, and you may well have seen that we have a very full dockets on once a week. On our criminal dockets and on our civil dockets, and then also when we have child support and family dockets. Then also we have emergency hearings, and then we can have sometimes these places just full out there waiting around, outside, inside, using your chambers also. And we've had a couple of incidents where we've had to have the light horse called over. We've had some other concerns. We've had a couple of evacuations where we've had bomb threats. We've had some other things that were called in. And we'd actually been wanting to try and add protection. When we have court, Larry Bible is our probation officer, parole, peace officer, and he's inside the courtroom as acting as bailiff. But that means that there's still nobody outside to keep the peace amongst the individuals. And these are can be very highly contentious moments. So we had put off, but we had made known our concerns about that, and in addressing that, we have added in a second bailiff position that added in some more slightly additional cost of about $15,000 or $17,000 of a full-time position. However, that was largely funded by a open court clerk entry-level position, which was around $30,000 initially. And instead of trying to fill that this coming year, we have shifted that into the bailiff's position so that we would have one that could work within the courtroom and one as the light officer working around the perimeter inside, calling people in and assisting as needed. Especially if we have jury trials, things like that, if we have domestic violence cases, we need to make sure that people are safe and secure. So that is one change in the overall budget. The second change we've had is that we are by statute, of course, we have myself who is the administrative judge, and then we have two contract judges positions, Judge Cripps being one of those, and we have funded those at full. It's supposed to be $3,500 per month per judge, so that if and divided between the two of them. We've only had the one judge since I've been here, besides me, so that the past 3 to 4 years. In order to accommodate the, within the line item budgets, we had reduced that to halftime for the second one, in case that needs to be funded or decides to be funded, which would be at the discretion of the principal chief and the council's confirmation. And that also has been allocated into contractual amounts. Now, contractual amounts, which is the 244,000, I think, in there that we requested, that primarily covers our attorneys that are by, we have to, because of the due process requirements, we have to supply attorneys for defendants who can't afford one in criminal cases, and also in juvenile actions where their rights to the children are being taken away from them, or threatened, I should say. So that's primarily where that money comes out of. And we paid them at $125 per hour at this point. This was where it used to be the, what did we call that? The
Indigent
Defense, and it used to be the legal clinic, law clinic used to be supplied. Well, that was some other, that's some other something else. But we had Indigent Defense, which was a contractual. When we came over here about 4 years ago, that got changed around. But so we're paying them $125 an hour. We have reduced that. We believe we're going to have to reduce that to $100 an hour for the attorneys. We think that'd be sufficient, but it will be. We may lose some of our attorneys who are willing to represent people. And we put
on that same line. I hate to interrupt you. Looking at last year's SEVA, you only used $86,000 out of that $234 appropriated last year.
Yes. I don't remember exactly how much we had used. Let's see where we are.
$147,000. That's 62%.
Let's see if I can get my where we are now. At this point, let's see where we are on the contractual. We're about 86,000 that we have not all this on the SEBA that I have as of August 17th. We have we've used to date 147,000. That is still 2 months behind. The attorneys don't bill us very timely sometimes. Now, we've also had funds we've turned back in that line item. But the past 3 years, we've been very fortunate, I guess that would be how you'd say it, in that our jury trials have not been long and they've been settled on the day of they were called. But if we have a jury trial where it is sort of it extend for, say, 4 or 5 days, and we have, say, if it's a juvenile action, and you'd have attorneys appointed for the mother, attorney appointed for the father, and an attorney appointed for the children. We're paying three attorneys $125 an hour, 8 hours a day for 5 days or longer. That's going to eat into our budgets very fast. We have not had to deal with that, so we've been fortunate. But we, constitutional requirements of the United States and of our Indian Civil Rights Act, we have to provide attorneys for people that can't afford them in those instances. And when we come up to it, either we cut that budget back, and then when it happens, we have to come over here for saying that we have to have a supplemental appropriation in 2 weeks of $100,000, or we just let these kids go back to wherever they happen to be. Okay. So that's why that's been like it has the past couple years.
When was this revised? Because the one I got in my book, it was $1,243,034, and the one we got tonight is $1,295,688.
I think that was in the past week when we had submitted the $1,295, and then
it was revised at about 10:30 this week.
Okay.
This last one.
The indirect cost changed, as I remember correctly.
Right.
Seven items changed. Which is, it's still lower than what it was last year, so
yes.
I'm not complaining.
Right.
It's just
right.
What we looked at is different than what we got tonight.
Yeah, and like I said, we have the biggest change is that, and with the Judge Cripps, who is an hourly and has a contract for the nation, had been up in personnel, and we've been paying them as out of the contractual amounts. So that actually dropped down and took the indirect cost out of it. That's part of where our savings came out of. because he's not paid federal taxes, income, state income taxes, FICA, none of that stuff's taken out of his, just like any other contractor. So that saved the indirect cost and reduced it, but we're also reducing it by having dropped out part of the cost for that second judge. And if a second judge, or third judge actually, is appointed, then we would have to revisit that amount. But that would be at the chief's and the council's discretion, of course. But the big shift is that we have changed a court clerk, an entry-level court clerk, to a bailiff, so we could address our safety concerns.
Judge Bigger, only communications last year, you only spent like $1,700 out there.
Right.
And so, you know, is that something that we can maybe look at reducing, maybe by another, you know?
What we've done, that is supposed to pay for our things like our management of our communications. For instance, we have IDT that we're going to have taking care of our safeguarding the server management. And that's where it should have been taken out of, and that's where we're going to have. So we're going to have that $1,080 per month on that at this point. So we're trying to address that in the communications now.
Where was it coming out before? Prior to
this current year? Where was it come out before?
The equipment management.
Equipment management. So it's going to be we just signed a contract. I think are signing the agreement with the IBT, and it'll be $1,080 per month for 12 months. So that'll be $13,000 additional coming out of that line item. We have new court software and are residing on our server, which we'll have for payments and other things. So we want to make sure that that's all taken care of and cleaned up. As we move forward.
Pete, you have a question?
No,
David. Okay.
Yeah, on your also your vehicle maintenance, repair, and fuel purchase.
Yes.
Because out of that $3,400, only $2,400 was you. Do you know what the charges were for them? Or how is that the vehicle fleet?
Well, that's our two. We have the car and the pickup, and those were purchased through the district court years ago.
Oh, okay. So you have your own.
Yeah, we have our two. We have the pickup, and we have the car. Looks like the old police cruiser out there.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's the past year we had tires and some oil maintenance, so forth. So we don't put a lot of miles on it, but we just have the upkeep on that.
So majority of that is probably oil change and stuff. Because I know last year Shane Hubby had mentioned that all of these budgets, some of the repairs and the fuel stuff, he still pays for it instead of pulling it from the budget. You know, that's why you always see it a lot. You know, still remaining in everyone's budget. He's still been paying.
I think that ours just comes up. Our vehicles are paid for just straight out of this. I don't think we use any kind of fleet management.
Far as repair and fuel.
Right.
And
we haven't had any repairs on those vehicles to speak of.
Just minor.
Minor.
And we definitely did pay for those. They came out of the district court.
And the mileage, is that related to the same thing? If I can only use 30%.
The mileage is also, I think, that's what we cover for
for jurors.
Jurors.
The judges.
Judges and jurors.
Excuse me. We have to pay for Judge Cripps' mileage to come from Salisaw over here to court. And we've had to keep in our budget that third judge position also.
Just in case.
If it's ever appointed, then we would have to pay their mileage to wherever they come.
Is transit going to that point? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
If we can get them to, I can do it.
Cats.
I'm good.
What about your library maintenance? I know you need 30,000, but you only used 16 last time.
Yeah, we have been looking at that. We have a library, probably some of you have seen it, trying to keep that updated. It's a kind of a question. We have not updated as much as we want to. We actually wanted to buy a bunch of books for the maintenance. Of course, we have the United States codes, hard copies, we have the state codes, things like that, which are from Westlaw. We also have Westlaw, the legal software that we use, access to their database. We had a bunch of other books we wanted to buy which were law related, but we couldn't quite figure out how to get that done the past 9 months because you need a credit card to do that. And it's like, for instance, Amazon doesn't have it. Books like the Rob Williams has books on tribal constitutional writing, Rob Porter on the same type of these professors put out these books, gaming, all these types of just law books on a particular subject. Walter Echohawk has these books on declarations, worst cases, and so forth. Those would be anywhere from $30 to $75 each, and we wanted to buy them, but when we did, we couldn't quite figure out how to get it done with between ourselves and over here at finance with them, with Amazon needing a credit card because that's the cheapest place, and otherwise we have to hunt down each of the individual things. So that's part of the reason that budget's been up there, otherwise we would be using it up.
Okay. Any other questions, Pete?
What is this program income?
$60,000.
That's the, make sure I'm looking at the right thing, on the court fund.
Yeah.
Those are our court fees that they file. And when a case is filed by individuals, it's a $35 filing fee, $40 filing fee. If there's court fines that the individuals have to pay for the defendants, then they pay maybe it's $50, $100, $200, whatever that happens. That goes into the court fund, which is separate and different from the gaming revenue that comes into the nation. And so that money then is allocated out into these expenses that we have here. And so there is some monies there that we need, that we can allocate, but that's not, we're careful as to using it for type of recurring costs because you never know if they're going to be paying or how many cases we'll have filed. So that's where the court comes from. And then we've allocated $60,000 out of that for these various supplies, library maintenance, legal services, special projects, and equipment.
So you actually, what's in your program fund balance count wise?
It's actually up over $200,000 at this point, I think, isn't it? And we've been trying to figure out, we were looking at trying to utilize, we talked with a couple of people to have some software installed and update the courtroom for surveillance, the access to our for jury trials and trials, so the attorneys can put their laptop or desktop evidence and information up on the screens and present it through to the courtroom and to the witnesses and to the juries. And that was running $60,000 to $90,000, and we were thinking we might be able to take it out of our leftover monies this year. But we thought that we probably want to investigate some other vendors first and then perhaps use that out of this court funds as we go forward. We have a little more time to investigate and look at. But that's one of the things we were looking at using because that has grown over the past couple of years, but we have not utilized it beyond that. But the court fund is something that cautious about having like we're looking thinking about the probation officer, parole officer. We don't want to have a recurring expense out of that because we never know how much money we'll bring in each year to year on it.
Okay. Any questions, Pete, David, Brandon?
The only one I had on the heading was a peace officer.
Yes.
How many hours or how many days do you have actually at court?
We have hearings probably 3 or 4 days. We can have hearings 3 or 4 days per week, and we're never quite sure. We have scheduled very full dockets once per week generally. And then like today, I had an arrest, so I had a hearing. I had swearing in that I had a hearing today. You may have a domestic violence. So Sometimes it's 3 or 4. We may go 3 days without having any hearings, and then it may be just one hearing, but it may be a full-blown hearing. It's very hard to tell how often we have it. But the problem is that we don't know when it will be. You know, like tomorrow we could have someone file an emergency hearing. We could have a very upset person come in. We could have someone come in that's arrested, that's high on meth, and we need assistance. So that's our problem, is not being able to say, okay, we'll need extra help on next Tuesday.
So what other job duty do you have besides this, or not actually working as a bailiff?
As the bailiff, Larry does probation, so he keeps track of his probation officer, parolees for our defendants. He, as I said, the bailiffs with courts. He keeps an eye on the building here. He has the security camera and so forth. That's what the second bailiff would do, is that he'd be able to assist on that. They also kind of will answer the phones when we're busy, take some general information at the front desk and so forth. That's what we anticipate this person will be able to do. They're not really a clerk, but they'd be there to assist in those moments.
David, you have another question?
Last one. NCAI. Who all attended?
None of us attended this year. We thought about it, but we decided that we just didn't want to spend the money and travel. That's one of those things that we could probably cut at least part of that.
Well, no, I really encourage if someone could go to that, especially with Jacob Brown issue.
Yeah, I know it's one of those things. We think it's important, but we were trying to, you know, defer and be accommodating. A lot of that stuff, I know that travel is kind of high, but we do have, for instance, in a week and a half, our court staff is going to D.C. for all of our clerks, and Jason are going out to D.C. for the full court software, and that's our courtroom software management. That's where we put all of our cases into it, has all the details of the cases, individuals, defendants, and plaintiffs. And so it's also going to allow us to take those monies in by credit cards. So they're going to be trained on that. We have other things. We have the National American Indian Court Judges Association meeting in Palm Springs in October. We're going out to. So those things are very important. We think it's really important to have that out there. We also went to the Fed Bar and kind of pushed our agenda, you might say, out there.
I mean, if it's possible, that's just my opinion. I think it needs to be more visible from Creek Nation concerning.
You know, I've said that the courts need to be more visible, in particular at the NCAI, because they don't have the courts. And I think some of you have heard me talk about that, where the courts are at the point of this attack from those who are attacking travel sovereignty. It's always the courts that take that. And so I think that the courts do need to be more vocal in both within the tribal circles and national circles, as to that we're legitimate, we do important work, that we represent our people, and that we safeguard rights of all individuals.
Anything else, David? Anybody else? Okay. And hearing nothing else, do I hear a motion to accept the budget as presented?
I make the motion to accept the budget.
Second. Okay. Any other questions? Not. Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against.
Got 3 in favor, and against. That's been approved. Thank you.
Cool. Sound like awesome. Mm-hmm.
Moving on down the agenda, other business. Any other business? BFJ will be following immediately after this meeting is closed. So nothing else. Hearing announcements? No. Hear motion to adjourn?
Someone.
All hearers, aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Time now is 6:27.